To understand Alexander Hamilton, one must begin far from the marble halls, legislative chambers, and battlefields that would later define his public image. His story did not begin in Philadelphia, New York, or the councils of the Revolution. It began in the Caribbean, in a world shaped by heat, trade, violence, hierarchy, and uncertainty. Before he became a statesman, before he became a founder, before admirers and critics alike argued over his legacy, he was a boy born on islands where power was measured in ships, sugar, and status, and where the distinction between fortune and ruin could be brutally thin. The Caribbean of the 18th century was not merely the backdrop to Hamilton's early life. It was the furnace in which many of his instincts were formed, ambition sharpened by insecurity, discipline shaped by hardship, and an almost ferocious determination to escape obscurity. The origins of Alexander Hamilton have always carried a slight haze, as though even the beginning of his life reflected the complexity that later defined his character. Scholars have long debated the exact year of his birth, with 1755 and 1757 most often cited. That uncertainty is not just a trivial biographical detail. It says something important about the world into which he was born. Records in the Caribbean colonies were uneven, fragile, and often subject to neglect, especially when they concerned people of unstable social standing. Hamilton was not born into a secure, orderly household whose milestones were preserved with pride and precision. He came into the world in circumstances that were socially vulnerable and morally judged by the standards of the age. That fact mattered deeply in the 18th century, when legitimacy, lineage, and reputation were not private concerns but currencies that could affect one's place in society. He was born in Charlestown, on the island of Nevis, or at least closely connected to that part of the Leeward Islands world, and he spent much of his childhood on the Danish island of St. Croix. The Caribbean in which he grew up was a crossroads of empires. British, French, Spanish, Dutch, and Danish interests overlapped uneasily in the region, all drawn by profit, competition, and strategic advantage. Plantation economies, maritime commerce, and imperial rivalry created immense wealth for a minority while subjecting many others to exploitation and instability. The islands were beautiful, but their beauty masked a hard social order. Sugar had transformed the Caribbean into one of the most profitable regions in the Atlantic world, and sugar wealth rested squarely on the labor of enslaved Africans. From an early age, Hamilton lived in a society where human bondage was not peripheral but central, woven into the economy, the landscape, and the daily assumptions of life. This setting matters because Hamilton's later ideas about commerce, power, and institutions did not emerge from nowhere. He was born into a mercantile world, and even before he had formal political influence, he had already absorbed the rhythms of trade, debt, risk, and imperial dependency. The Caribbean was not a quiet provincial edge of the Atlantic. It was a place of movement, bargaining, accounts, credit networks, and sudden reversals. Ships arrived and departed carrying goods, rumors, letters, and opportunities. Merchants made fortunes and lost them. Planters depended on distant markets and distant governments. A young, observant mind could learn very quickly that wealth was rarely simple, that power often traveled through paper as much as through force, and that survival depended on intelligence as much as on luck. Hamilton, who would later build financial systems and think in terms of national credit, first encountered the world not through pastoral simplicity but through the hard mathematics of trade. His mother, Rachel Fawcett, was herself a figure marked by social turbulence. She was of Huguenot descent, connected to a world of migration, displacement, and adaptation. By the time Hamilton was born, her life had already been shaped by choices and circumstances that exposed her to public scrutiny. She had been married to Johann Michael Lavian, a man from whom she later separated under difficult and unhappy conditions.